All right, we finally made it to Acts chapter 28. You know, when you're anointed, you have to give God room to do whatever you want to do. At any time, He can change the plans on you. It was His plan all along, but you know, He introduced it to us. You know, He was running a great revival, and then God said, "Leave." And the only way you'll cooperate is to be prepared. when you're in His presence, you know, Philip didn't argue; he just went with it.
Yeah, because he was going to get into a greater revival. That man was going to take back to his people, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a greater move. You know, through just one man, through just teaching and opening the eyes of one man, mm-hmm. he's going to take that back to his. He had plenty of influence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Caray said
he had money. You know, when sometimes obedience requires speed.
Requires
lot. If he got there in Gaza in time to see the entourage walking by him, he had to leave then. Yeah. If he had waited too late, he would have missed an opportunity.
Get there right on time.
And
he couldn't say, "Lord, another week. Can I just do another week?"
I've done everything. The Lord would tell me to do something, and I missed opportunities. And when I realized, I said, "Lord, I done messed up." I said, "Why did I do that? How come I?" And He'd explain things to me. So the next time He says something, I'm like that German Shepherd, you know, when they see something interesting, them ears go up, you know.
Sure.
and a cat does the same thing, them ears go up. And when you see what it is, and he's in stealth mode, the more ears go back, you know. So to keep from missing opportunities, the Lord also taught me don't fear things. So I know God don't like fear. I learned that from being in His presence. So when I look at something, I look at it as a king would, because that's what He does. He taught me to do that. Never look at something as being unconquerable. Never look at things with fear. You know, fear is a lockdown. If you got to trust something. If you trust God, trust Him. If you're in fear, you're not trusting Him. You're trusting something else. So He taught me to look at things different. This kind of preparation comes from Him. Only He can help you break the. I learned these things by making mistakes and then asking Him for help, and He showed me where the problem was. So. And then there's something else that I realized later, that what you're anointed for, you know, with the anointing, you have God's ability. And if you have God's training, you'll cooperate with it. When you're anointed, you're ready now. But to operate that anointing and be obedient like Philip, you have to be trained. There are times that under the anointing, something just happening, and then to my surprise, I said whatever was necessary or did whatever was necessary. My mind was just turning flips. But I did it, and I went and asked the Lord about that. I said, "How did I win?" and He'll explain things, and you know that 101. You know, He'll show you things. And. And I like to win, so I don't want Satan to win. It's important. If I win and do my job, then other people will see God in a greater way. And that's what I'm after. That's the total motive of what God gives me to do, is helping other people win. I was so mad at Satan that I wanted to expose him for the liar that he was. And I was motivated by the love of God, and I was so mad at Satan, I wanted to make sure that I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And then I even told Satan, I said, "I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to follow Him on purpose just to shame you." just to kill you. And I was mad, just like Brother Harden. Sometimes he'll say, obey God, do it on purpose. And man, it just reminded me of those days I would be in his presence. So in his presence, I learned not to fear. But when things caught me off guard, if I didn't have the courage to do it or it didn't make sense to me, I might not do it. Some moves of God will not make sense to your mind. Get used to it. But don't fear it. The Lord will prepare you. In Acts chapter 28, as I studied this chapter, remember Paul was sent to the Jews. I mean, not to the Jews, to the Gentiles, not the Jews. When he went to Jerusalem, he got put in jail. He was out of his element. And the closer he got back to the Gentiles, you see the power of God working to his favor. He just survived a terrible storm, and now he's on his way to Rome. He's in the perfect will of God. He's willing and obedient, and the anointing is thriving in his life. This is a story from chapter verse 11. Well, the whole book is a story of what the anointing can do in our lives. But from 11 on down, we see Paul progressing in his element around the Gentiles. See, when you're anointed, the Lord will train you so that you can carry that anointing. Once you're anointed, David was anointed to be king. He could have been a great king from the moment that Samuel anointed him. If you study Psalm 89, you see David in training mode. Lord, you cast my crown to the ground. The king's trying to kill me. You know, he went through all these troubles, and the Lord was preparing him to be a great king. And no matter what happened, he announced all his concerns in that psalm, in Psalm 89, and then he ended it with praising God. He stayed true and obedient even when he didn't understand. If you can be true and obedient even when you don't understand, you will win.
Amen.
That's the power of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is just a place, but what Jesus did there, he submitted himself and he was willing and obedient to the perfect will of God. And when he left Gethsemane, he had no doubts about it. He had no concerns. All of his concerns were solved. He was in fight mode. To get there in fight mode, you have to be willing and obedient to the plan of God. Verse 11, it says, "And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isles, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing in Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli." And it looked like they needed a south wind, so it came. All right, everything's going in Paul's favor. Verse 14, "Well, we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appy Forum," hope I pronounced that right, and "the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." You know, on a long journey, you see something familiar. It's a blessing. "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him." See, under the anointing, You're willing and obedient. The training that God gave, God knew how to carry himself with Gentiles. And he's trained as a Pharisee, but then the Lord trained him and prepared him to minister to Gentiles. And he ended up with his own soldier that kept him. And I'm sure he had favor with him. And it looked like he was able to do a few things instead of just going to wait in prison. Verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of our customs, against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of, not that he had anything to accuse his nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because therefore the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. The hope of Israel is Jesus. Because he preached Jesus, he's here in the chains. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening. The Old Testament has two sides, Moses and the prophets. He was able to show Jesus out of both. And some believe things that were spoken, and some believe not. Now the Gentiles gave him less trouble, just like Brother Horton said. The Jews kept pushing the issue, and the Gentiles were receptive. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost of Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Now this is the blindness. Paul is facing that blindness because Jews could not believe on Jesus because they were blinded, because God gave them over to their own heart. Just like he gave the first generation over to a reprobate spirit. And he blinded them because they loved the wickedness of this world more than God. They kept getting in idolatry. They kept getting in trouble. They did it on purpose. They did it to provoke God, according to Jeremiah. So God did something about it. He blinded them. Now the remnant, he saved. And that was, according to Isaiah, the remnant was 10% of the people. Verse 27, For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now they closed their own eyes. They resisted the Holy Ghost every chance they got, until the Lord blinded the nation. But a tenth would be received. Verse 28, Be it known therefore that unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, Jews departed, and had great reason among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him. Now the Jews are gone. He has free course. He's winning Gentiles without interference. For the first time, he's ending in victory. Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He made a lot of headway with resistance, even though he was resisted. Now he has no interference, and he's preaching the gospel. And it ends there, so hopefully he lived a long time doing this. You know, now, we're finishing the book of Acts, but we're living the book of Acts. Our lives, we're still living in the days of Acts. And we are And as we follow him, as we follow the Lord and his training, as we allow him to prepare us, we're going to see miracles throughout our lives. And how many people almost got killed and the Lord spared their life? Raise your hand. You almost got killed, the Lord. How many been healed? How many seen people healed? See, if you wrote down everything that happened along our, anybody raised anybody from the dead? I know Mary did. Mary raised a baby from the dead. See, these are the days of Acts. And we, I remember Scott Webb said, if you think about it, throughout the course of your life, you've seen just as many miracles that they've seen. He said this was a 60-year period. Now, I hadn't studied that part for myself, from Acts 1 to Acts 28. According to Scott Webb, it was a 60-year period. And all these miracles happened. In our lives, we've seen miracles too. These are the days of Acts. So as we allow the Lord to prepare us, he'll put us in our element with the anointing that he gave us. And we will do he can take a little bit and do a mighty work. Amen. He sent Philip to he preached one message, but that one message, I'm sure it caused a landslide revival in Ethiopia. You know, Ethiopia was, you know, a lot of people from Ethiopia always helped the gospel. You know, Jeremiah had the king had a servant that rescued Jeremiah. An Ethiopian man helped Jesus carry the cross. I mean, I believe revival, great revival broke out in Ethiopia.
Ethiopian Jews and idols that come back to Israel.
Yeah.
It's in that country, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and remember, I'm gonna close with this comment. The Lord will move hell and high water to save somebody he know will hear. He will cause you to do what he'll cause you. He'll do miracles in your life to get you to where you need to be, and he will show up strong. Cause he's serious about winning Amen. People that he know will hear, and it may not be but a few people, but.
He knows that
they have ears to hear. Just like the Ninevites. Jonah wanted to go one direction and God did several miracles like Mary talked about to get him to Nineveh. He did a 3-day journey in one day. I read over that. Mary taught that. I read over that a lot of times. And then she pointed out that it would have taken him 3 days to walk that journey, but he made it in one day. He was transported. God will move heaven and earth to get his people one to him. And he'll prepare you just for one person sometime.
This is a little changing the subject, but just while you were speaking, I got a message from, you know, Ray was saying that the three Chinese people that were at our house, one of them has been going to this church that we leave to go to, the International Church, and she just texted me that Reming, who is the man that is Ray's friendship partner. Reming has been rather not responsive to the gospel, you know, but Win-Win, who has been going to this church, is bringing Reming's wife that is here for just a month. Mm-hmm. She's bringing her to the church this morning. And I'm just so excited, you know, that maybe mm-hmm. she's interested in helping us.
You know, that's a good point. And sometimes, When you deliver a message, the person that the Lord moved heaven and earth for you to talk to, they may be mean to you right now. But that word will get in their heart and they will get saved.
Seed is planted.
The Lord, in preparing me, taught me, don't look at people. He said, I'm not talking to their mind, I'm talking to their heart. He said, some people will look like they're listening.
That's good.
Dear Lord, I thank you for the mighty moves of God. I thank you for the days of Acts that we live in. And I pray that you will bless us. I call this last time the last stretch. I pray that you will mightily move in all of our lives in the last stretch of time before the rapture. In Jesus' mighty name, help us do all that's in your heart. Amen. Amen.